Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson. On Utah's home for elevated conversation. Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, in America, we always say we don't want a king. We don't want a dictator. Those are always the headlines. We're free. We fought a war over that against England 250 years ago. But the question beyond the headline and the thing we need to think again about is, while we say we don't want a dictator, are we actually creating one? Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
Yes, democracy is messy. It feels slow and cumbersome, and often it fails to live up to the principles we profess to believe. In American democracy today, far too much time is being spent on pounding on opponents or political parties, and it is actually doing the work of the people. And so how do we change that? And how do we do that without actually giving ourselves a king? If you don't read anything else today, this is the read of reads today. It's by our good friend J.D. Tuccilli. He is the contributing editor at Reason, and the piece is actually titled "Americans Don't Want a Dictatorship, but They're Creating One Anyway." J.D., welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Always great to have you, and I knew this was going to be where we wanted to start hour number two the moment I saw your headline today, and then the more I read, the more I thought, oh, this is so on the money. And so let's start with the premise of this. We always say we're a free country. We don't want no stinking king. We don't want a dictator here. It seems like we are actually creating one. Describe that for us.
Yeah, we're kind of inching in that direction, and it's actually more than inching. It's kind of creeping pretty fast.
Yeah.
And a big part of the problem is Americans are kind of ambivalent about the idea of restrained government and a restrained presidency. I was riffing off of a recent poll by AP NORC, Center for Public Affairs Research, out of the University of Chicago, and they headlined it about, you know, half of Americans think it would be bad if the next president is able to act on important policy issues without the approval of Congress or the courts. And only about 21% think it would be a good thing. And I mean, it is good that more Americans think that would be bad than think it would be good. But this is a 250-year-old republic, and really, we can only get 48% of respondents to say that turning the presidency into an absolute monarchy would be bad. I mean, I just find that a little surprising.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
I'll keep going.
Well, I was going to say, it's actually supported by other polling. There was a poll by University of Virginia Center for Politics in 2021, which found that a similar 20% of both Trump and Biden voters strongly agree it would be better if a president could take needed actions without being constrained by Congress or courts. And the previous year, the Democracy Fund Voter Study Group found that over three annual surveys, about 24% of Americans say that a strong leader who doesn't have to bother with Congress elections is a good way to govern a country. Now, that's only a fifth to a quarter of the population, but really, consistently, only about half think a dictatorship is a bad thing.
Wow. And that's what worries me, because it's sort of become in our politics. I used to always describe it as the Dennis Rodman syndrome. Like, everybody hated Dennis Rodman when he was the basketball player. He was dirty. He was cheap. He was wild. He was out of control. And nobody hated him more than the Chicago Bulls, right up to the point he became their Dennis Rodman. And even though he was still awful, horrible, terrible on all of those fronts, he got him, 21 rebounds, several steals, and wreaked havoc on the other team's best player. And so now it's sort of become the same thing in our politics of, well, if my team's got the power, if my team has the White House, then yes, I definitely want a presidency who can not have to wait on Congress to actually get things done.
Oh, that's absolutely true. I mean, and the pollsters asked people, okay, if you're a Democrat and Biden wins in November, what do you say now about an unrestrained presidency? And the numbers in favor of it doubled. They asked Republicans the same thing, and the numbers almost tripled. And the fact is, people are much less opposed to the idea of a dictatorship if they think it's their dictator. And when they asked more deeply, okay, which branch of government do you think has too much power? it's always a branch of government that's in somebody else's hands. Republicans think the presidency and the executive branch is too powerful. Democrats think the Supreme Court is too powerful. Of course, the Supreme Court is leans conservative, and the presidency is held by, you know, Democrat Joe Biden right now. The fact is, Americans really don't like restrained government if they're the ones exercising power. They only want a restrained if it's the other guy in power.
Yeah, as long as it's my dictator, then it's okay, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the fact is, they're getting what they want. We had run another piece, and I quoted from it. It's by Gene Healy, who wrote a book, The Cult of the Presidency. Yeah. It came out about 15 years ago, although it's just been revised recently because, frankly, the presidency is getting more culty. And he pointed out that over decades, the presidency has been accumulating more and more unilateral power as people ask the government to do more and more. And the president is the face of the government, the most obvious, you know, singular face. And people keep on handing off more authority to the executive branch because they want the president to fix everything, to the point now where presidents can do stuff like try to absolve people of owing the student loans, try to pass executive orders that kind of legislate unilaterally. We're not at an elective monarchy yet, but we're getting very close to that point. And the fact is that there's a significant constituency out there for an elective monarchy, so long as they think it's somebody on their side who's exercising that power.
Yeah. And so as we look at that, and I think there's another element to this that's really fascinating to me, and that is, so we have citizens who are looking to Washington more and more to solve any big problem, whether it's a student loan problem, whatever it may be, look to the president, look to the executive branch to just do it with the stroke of a pen. We also have Congress that continues to abdicate authority to the executive branch so that they don't have to be held accountable for things. And that also helps to consolidate that power in an elected monarchy.
Oh, absolutely so. I mean, we've seen that in terms of war powers where Congress doesn't want to be. You have to go through the messy, act of engaging in violence. They delegate it to the executive branch. A lot of laws these days are kind of written with broad frameworks with the details be filled in by the executive branch. And then Congress just does nothing a lot of the time. Yeah. Now, the fact is Congress not passing a law doesn't mean it's a do nothing Congress. If Congress votes down a law, maybe that's the something that they're supposed to be doing. But if they're just stuck and if they don't want responsibility, if they just want to pose before cameras and then pass responsibility off to the executive branch, we are going to end up with an empowered executive branch and a legislature that kind of becomes vestigial.
Yeah, it's such a powerful thing in all of that. And then, of course, the problem with all of that in the current model, without a real monarchy, is when the executive branch does things by the executive order, then somebody files a lawsuit that works its way up to the Supreme Court, and then the Supreme Court becomes incredibly political, and we wonder why.
Well, exactly so. I mean, if you have a presidency that becomes kind of the fulfillment of people's hopes, wishes, and fears, and the only check on it, to one extent or another, is going to be the Supreme Court, they're going to be seen at odds with each other. And those who favor whatever whoever is in the White House at the time is doing are going to resent the Supreme Court. And then the Supreme Court is going to be the rally point for those who oppose that president of the White House. So, and that's exactly what we're seeing, of course, in the numbers with Republicans kind of supporting the Supreme Court against the presidency, and Democrats supporting the president against the Supreme Court. I mean, that's exactly the dynamic that's taken place in recent years.
Yeah, this is a great piece. J.D. Cicilli, one of the best of the best, contributing editor at Reason. It is your must-read assignment for the day. Americans don't want a dictatorship, but they're creating one anyway. J.D., as always, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on.
All right. Great perspective there from J.D. And we'll come back with some more inside sources as we look at this whole idea of the fact that we say we don't want a dictatorship. We say we don't want a king or a monarchy or a queen. But a lot of our actions are leading us that way. And as J.D. points out in the piece, that it is really not just inching. It's starting to creep and creep a little faster. And so that requires all of us to take a look at, where is that balance of power, and do we like that unlimited power or unrestrained power when it's in our favor, when our person is in the White House or when our team is in control of Congress or the court? That's not how it's supposed to work. And so the important thing for all of us is to make sure we're looking at that, not just who has the power and is my team winning, We have to look at it as what's best for the country and what's best for the future. We'll be right back.
Think Again on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.